Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Nature, you suck! Enough! And here we're gonna like thunderstorm into next week. Can you tell I'm a little bit fired up?
When's the last time we've seen the sun? It's been a few days.
Isn't that a song?
I don't know.
I think that's a song somewhere out there. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am a ticked off Lante. Derek Piper's to my left. Kyle is just smirking. He's heard a lot of bad words in the last 5 minutes.
I told you before the show, we've been through it.
Yes.
If you play baseball.
Or softball
in Illinois.
Yep.
And it's March. Most of the time, if you play a game, it sucks. If you don't play a game, it sucks.
Yeah. And what? So what's the better alternative?
Most kids want to play.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is a worn out script that has been around, I mean, I personally know since 84. I mean, this is just what it is, right? And what brought this up is that I had sent a tweet out recently to, and I included the IHSA, not calling them out, but I'm just like, why couldn't they start the season April 1st? And now, that doesn't mean you could do that next year, and March would be the most mild March in the history of the world, and you'd have 60-degree days, and everybody would be like, we should be playing baseball. Well, guess what? Chances are not good that's going to happen. So I said, why couldn't you just do that? They already play into June. If you make the state finals, you're in June playing baseball. And I don't know about softball. I apologize. I didn't have a daughter. So, but, you know, if all of a sudden you got to push the season to mid-June or end of June, I guarantee you if you're a team playing in super sectionals on June 20th, you're not upset that you're playing June 20th. You're excited that you're playing baseball. So I don't know. I just think, I just sent it out, and I'm like, thoughts, pros and cons. I don't want to tackle that on this radio show, but it just, yeah. And you said it perfectly. Like, this week is a perfect example. The boys got to play Monday in Hoopston. It was 38 degrees, and it was 30-mile-an-hour winds. Mm-hmm. So that goes to your thought of, if you play, it sucks. But then if you don't play, because we've been canceled Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week, I guarantee you Andrew hates that worse than playing in 30-mile-an-hour wind. So, I don't know. It's interesting.
I remember playing a doubleheader in Kankakee.
Isn't it funny how you just automatically come up with a memory?
It still sticks in my head. And it was like maybe 30 degrees.
Oh.
The White Sox canceled their game that day. But we went ahead and played our doubleheader. And it was absolutely brutal.
Oh, my.
I played the first game of the doubleheader, sat the second game, and I just froze on the bench. And it's one of those, too, like, do you want to stand up at the plate and you're going to get a stinger? It's going to be the worst thing ever.
Oh, of course, goodness.
You'd rather play, but sitting on the bench isn't too fun either.
I told Andrew, you and I talked about this because he pitched the first inning of that game. And I told him, I said, dude, when you're throwing in 38 degree weather, just hammer them with the fastball. They don't want to hit the fastball. I mean, if you see a breaking ball, you're excited because your hand's not going to be like after you hit it, which can sometimes happen when it's 80 degrees out. But yeah, it's crazy. Last night, if we get anywhere close tonight to what we had last night, sign me up for another 5 hours of wasting my life not doing anything tonight, because that's my plan. My plan tonight is to do nothing but watch basketball again.
I hope we're not disappointed, because it started off with a bang, that Kansas State-Michigan State game, the best game of the tournament, as far as I can tell. No, I didn't get to watch
100%
really any of the first round because of my duties out there in Des Moines, but to go to overtime, to just have the back-and-forth nature of that one, what Marquise Noel was able to do, one of the all-time performances in an NCAA tournament game, where he finished with 20 points and 19 assists. Mm. That was just epic basketball. Just sat back with a smile on my face and wanted that game not to end, go back and forth. And then the nightcap with UCLA and Gonzaga provided the drama that we hoped a game like that would. And, man, for Gonzaga to kind of melt down the stretch, let UCLA back in it after another rough second half of the Bruins out there in Vegas, it reminded me of that scene, because you remember, of course, UCLA in control of the game up 15 on Illinois early second half, and then let that thing slide, and they're up 13 at the break against Gonzaga. Looked like they might run away from that one.
Thought they had it.
Let Gonzaga back in that game, and it made me think of the hangover scene where you got like the mattress up on the top of the of the hotel, and the guy down in the valet is like, some guys just can't handle Vegas, and that's like UCLA in the second half when they're out there in Vegas. That was what came to my mind, but Amari Bailey hits the three to take the lead after some missed free throws. Mm. And then you're thinking in your head, timeout, it's got to go to Timmy. He has darn near 40 points.
Unbelievable.
UCLA can't do anything with him inside. And Julian Strother takes like a 30-foot three pull-up off the dribble, still with a decent amount of time left, and drains it.
Nothing but net. Isn't it amazing? First of all, can I say a couple of things? How in the world do teams make three-pointers like they do when after I watched all season? I don't understand it. And yes, that is intended to be a rip on this Illinois basketball team. I watched that Michigan State game last night, and did they miss from three? I don't recall. Maybe I recall two. And then and then the other thing is, can I say this?
He had 13 threes. They shot 52% from
52% from the three-point line. And I know they missed. Obviously they did. You just said it. But like in your mind, can you even remember a miss? I think Malik Hall left one short. Like that's the only one in my mind that I can remember. And then do you remember when Illinois wouldn't recruit Lewis Jackson?
Yes.
Do you remember when Illinois wouldn't go after Tyler Ulis?
I do.
And essentially it was because
Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah. Smaller guards. I'm telling you, sign me up every year to have a small guard on my basketball team. I went up and watched that DePaul Prep versus Bloomington Central Catholic. You were there.
I was.
Now, I'm not saying the point guard for DePaul Prep could play at Illinois, but the way he engineered that team and got them into spaces, and again, he wasn't, there's no way that dude plays for Illinois. I don't even know if he plays college, but what I'm saying is, it was refreshing to see a guard like that that just got guys in the position, started the offense. And last night, now, I don't know who you can compare to Noel. Set an assist record for the NCAA tournament with 19. I didn't know there. One dude had 18, and then a bunch of others had 17. That's a lot of assists. I don't remember ever in my life seeing 19 assists in a college game. Now, John Stockton used to do that on a nightly basis, but that is amazing. And the thing about that game last night, and Kyle, I want you to weigh in as well, it was just like, I mean, thank God I didn't root for either one of those teams so I could just enjoy it, right? That would have been horrible to have to root for one of those teams. But it would just seem like, you know, Kansas State would make a run, they're up seven, and you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden, here comes Michigan State, and then they'd go up two or three or four. And then Kansas State would come down, and you just have that feeling in your – I know you've done this because you've been at so many games – there's always that feeling of, okay, this could be the big possession. Like, if they don't answer here, they could be in some serious trouble. every time either one of those teams would answer. It was just as good of a basketball game as that's the best college basketball game I've watched all year.
Absolutely. Hands down. And you're sitting there, and for Illinois to have the lead guard issues that they had, and you're like, can they get someone like a Marquise Noel? I was watching the game with my dad last night. He's like, you know, someone tell Jaden Epps that can be him. Maybe if he sticks around. Now, he's got to be able to progress as a playmaker. Like some of the dimes that he threw, like Kyle and I were talking about, I know it went viral on Twitter where like there was the disagreement on the sideline between Jerome Tang and Noel, and ultimately he throws the lob to Johnson for the slam, and it almost looked like, was that planned? Did they pretend to be arguing and then he throws it?
Now, they had to have.
They said in the post game that no, it was just a happenstance of disagreement on what to run, and then just because of the connection between Noel and Keontae Johnson, he knew where he was going to be, and he cuts baseline and he throws it. But the dimes he was making in the pick and roll was fantastic. And then, like you said, the shot making of Michigan State, and to relate it to Illinois, which I know they were one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the country, but for them to make, 13 threes?
Yeah.
Kansas State made 11. Do you know how many times in the last 2 months of the year Illinois made double-digit threes?
I think you gave it away with the last 2 months of the year. I'm going to say zero.
It was one.
One. That would have been against
They played Minnesota.
Okay. I was thinking of that Wisconsin game when Coleman made five. I didn't know if maybe.
So if you count, that's why I did the 2 months thing. If you do Big Ten play, you got to include the Wisconsin home game January 7th. They made 10 threes, and Coleman had six of those.
And, of course, UCLA and Texas State.
UCLA, they made 12. Texas, they made 10.
Yeah.
You got to make shots in the tournament.
You do. It's that simple, right?
You got to have good point guard play. And like you said, with the size of these point guards, like how big was Kemba Walker?
Yes. Not very.
And while he didn't have the tournament success, but I adored him in the Big Ten. Like, how big was Yogi Ferrell?
Oh, my.
At Indiana.
Lewis Jackson.
Yeah.
Illinois didn't crack him, you know, from Decatur, and he goes over to Purdue and starts 4 years, and I know they won titles. Did he play with Juwan, was that Etwan Moore? No, he would have been after that. See, this
he
is
might
what
have
happens.
Been on that team.
When you get a little bit older, it all, like, kind of comes together. Like, before you know it, I've got Levi Cobb.
He was surely with Hummel because Hummel was there, 18 years.
Yeah. I got D. Brown passing it to Levi Cobb on the baseline. People are like, ooh.
Levi Cobb was really your guy. I don't even know who Levi Cobb is.
He didn't play a lot, but, man, he was a fan favorite. Yeah, I know some of our listeners remember that. But, yeah, they had – remember Juwan Johnson, is that right?
Yes.
Etwan Moore and Robbie Hummel. And I was thinking –
that was their big three.
I was thinking that Lou Jack – was on that team.
I remember watching Lewis Jackson. He was at Eisenhower, Decatur Eisenhower.
Yes, he was.
Would play against Centennial in the Big 12. And watching that dude, what looked like jump off a trampoline in warm-ups as he would go up at – what was he listed at? He was listed at 5'9". He probably wasn't even that.
No.
But be able to throw it down like that. So he played with Robbie Hummel. He was there, 2009 through 12.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on the Etwan Moore, Juwan Johnson, Robbie Hummel teams.
Now, that will make a point guard look good to have those three. Don't get me wrong. But, man, he was quick. He could get the ball down. I just don't know why. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Brad Underwood and coaches before him, maybe every coach in the country is like, I'm out there looking for that dude. But it just seems like – like, why do we make such a big deal of Noel? Well, number one, he's great, but it's because he's so short. You just don't see that a lot. And every time most of the times I see guys like that, it is amazing how they just the efficiency they have in running a team. They get the ball up the court. Normally, they're scrappy on D. I mean, it's just quickness.
Quickness allows him to get wherever he wants to go on the court. It's really hard to stay in front of him. When he breaks his initial guy down, the whole defense has to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you're starting to send somebody at him, if you're on go real breakdown with it,
yeah.
He comes off a pick and roll, and the big guy's got to hedge out. Then there's an open lane, and he was just throwing bounce pass dimes, like just ridiculous passes through traffic, which a few years ago, the good version of Andre Curbelo was doing that stuff.
You know what? That's a great point. This team could have had Andre Curbelo.
Right, and that's where I was thinking about it last night. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these teams run some really good offense. Like, there's a lot of connectiveness, a lot of off-ball action. You're like, why is Illinois so stagnant off the ball? Why can they not have more of a cohesive offense, run some better stuff is kind of the bottom line of it.
Right.
But when you got a point guard like that, you don't got to be super complex.
No.
You can run a pick and roll, let him break down the defense, and if they're going to collapse in, you hit shooters. If they're going to try to come at you, you hit the big on the roll. And, I mean, we saw that with Io. We saw Curbelo in his good fashion. So at the end of it, I know we spent a lot of time about what went wrong with Illinois' offense, not to tie everything back to Illinois. Because
I know we do, but we do.
We do.
I mean, that's kind of – that's who we cover.
That's the importance of a point guard and a veteran point guard. And Kansas State can thank Bruce Weber for leaving him there because he had actually gotten him in the portal the year before.
Oh, wow.
And he was a holdover for Jerome Tang this year and has them marching on to the Elite Eight. Another thing from last night to relate to Illinois, on a negative note, like watching that game, watching the UCLA – Gonzaga game, watching the way UConn played last night.
So,
is it not like Illinois is not in these teams' league?
No.
I know they lost 7 of 11, so that's not breaking news.
No.
But watching some of how these teams are playing, like Illinois was not even in the same stratosphere as some of these teams with how they're shooting it, with how they're playing.
You're completely correct on that. Even that Florida Atlantic team, I was like, man, they're good. They're athletic at every position. I mean, this is a little out of hand. I shouldn't even say it. But like that Flying Illini team, you know, in 99, they were, or 89, they were all like 6'6 to 6'8, right? And that's kind of what I looked like when I looked at FAU. I know they had a couple tall dudes, but it's like they were all the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like the perfect size to put out there. But, you know, I mean, to your point about like penetrate and kick. I remember hearing that my whole life from my dad. Hey, if you want to do something right on offense, penetrate and kick. That's what you can do. If they don't come to you, hit that little baby, you know, hit that little, not baby. We didn't float back then. I don't think I've ever floated, actually. That would be cool if I could. The floater that every kid now has to do in high school because they see their the guys in the pros do it. But you just take that base, or you take that free throw, that little elbow jumper right there. And he's like, if they don't stop you, take that jumper. You should hit that all day. But Hogard did the same thing for Michigan State. He would penetrate, and then he would find Hauser, he would find Walker, he would find, who was the lefty that
Akins.
My goodness, where'd he come from?
He was a freshman last year and really emerged as a sophomore as a really good three-point shooter for them.
Kyle, what did you think of last night?
I absolutely loved it. Oh. Yeah, this game was by far the game of the tournament. It was also refreshing to see the two offenses go at it because I feel like there's been a lot of slugfests in this tournament so far, a lot of defensive battles.
That's a good point.
Not to say that those aren't fun when they're close late and everything, but this was just two offenses functioning at a high level. The guard play in this game was incredible. And I always kind of try to find a team to latch on to once Illinois gets eliminated, and I think Kansas State's that team for me because you look at Marquise Noel, who's 5'7", one of the best point guards in the country, so fun to watch. You have Keontae Johnson, who's an incredible story coming off the cardiac incident at Florida where he wasn't even sure he's going to play again.
Yep.
And he's back and is playing at a high level. And then even just the team that was picked 10th out of 10 teams in the Big 12 preseason.
That's crazy.
And is about to go to a Final Four. So I don't know. I'm really liking this Kansas State team.
Isn't that amazing? Like the teams that were – what was the other team that's in this that was picked to finish –
Marquette, I think.
Marquette, that's, yeah, good
they
call.
They were like ninth in the Big East preseason.
And then they go out and just do what they did this season. That's pretty stinking impressive. I want to hear one thing from Tom Izzo. I was a little bit disappointed in Izzo after this. Because for a guy with, you know, all the moxie that he's carried, he's won a national title.
You mean he was grumpy Izzo last night? No way.
I mean, he basically, and listen, he's got a legitimate argument a little bit on that Noel Bank. Let's be honest. That was that's slop. That's me and 8-Ball saying, "Oh, you know, you got to hit the two in because the one's in, and you bounce it off 13 sides of the table, and somehow it hits the two, and then you just go, yeah, I didn't mean to do that, so sure shot."
He also missed one at the rim at the end of regulation.
Yes.
When Michigan State hits a shot, or did they miss? They had a chance to take the lead and miss. I can't remember.
I think it was after Tyson Walker tied it up.
Yeah, he went to the rim, okay. Tied it. You're right. And then Noel got from end to end before the buzzer, but missed one. It was contested, but missed one right at the rim that could have ended it.
I you remember Tyus Edney? For UCLA, he went coast-to-coast to win a game. Was that UCLA against Missouri? Can you effort that, Kyle? All right, here's Tom Izzo after this game. He was a little salty.
The fall down end of the shot clock ones, you kind of start thinking it's not your night.
Oh.
And then when Joey goes to the line and misses the front end of a one-on-one, he's a 91% free throw shooter.
Damn it,
you know,
Joey!
Those are tough things to overcome, and yet it's sure as hell not their fault. It was fun to watch. It must have been a hell of a game for TV, a hell of a game for the fans.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a game for TV.
It was, Tom. I'm not going to lie to you.
That version of the tournament, you can't beat it.
No.
Anything in sports, in my opinion. I'm biased because I love college basketball more than anything, but I don't think that version of basketball, for as much of it, the NBA can have the high-level shot-making and the best of the best. Give me that all day over anything.
It's the best event, right? It's just, and it proves it every year. It never fails. Like, the Super Bowl is awesome, but you could have a clunker in the Super Bowl. You could have a Red Sox sweep of the Cardinals in 04. You can have clunkers in certain things. This never...
It doesn't seem that way.
Right. Now,
sometimes there's chalk to the Final Four.
That's true.
Don't always love that.
That's
especially
a good
if
point.
You root against the Blue Bloods, which is pretty popular to do.
Oh, man.
It's always fun when Duke goes out in the first weekend. I remember being a kid, and that was like the greatest thing ever. Lehigh beat them, or Bucknell beats Kansas. Like, it's the best day of the year.
Then Northern Iowa beating Kansas. I was an adult, and I was giddy about something like that. All right.
Can I be honest real quick?
Yeah.
For selfish reasons. And I know you want to talk about the Big Ten in the tournament
as we
go along, but I took a little bit of satisfaction in Michigan State losing last night. Number one, I personally came out, like I said, I've been saying it all year. I've pushed back on Michigan State being as good as some people thought they would be. Now, their guard play was always the counter to that. They got really good guard play. But I didn't want to see a region crumbled down with Purdue losing, with Marquette losing, which, of course, Michigan State was responsible for. But
right.
It looked like Michigan State maybe could once again find a way to be a lower seed and get to, like, a Final Four.
Yep.
And then everybody would say, see, Tom Izzo was right.
Yep.
Tom Izzo said, I'm not going to the portal. I'm going to be stubborn and play old school. And I'm not going out and getting a big man, even though my roster glaringly needs one. And then he goes to the Final Four, and it's like, see? Izzo is March, and you were all wrong.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we were.
No, I agree.
Now, last night, look, they deserved – they could have easily have won that game. They played well enough to do so. I just didn't want to be alive for that moment.
No, I'm with you on this. And you know, I thought the same thing. And while I started to get frustrated because I'm like, oh, what have they done? They've beaten a 10-seed USC team that had to go cross-country to Albany. But then I was like, well, but hold on. They beat the hottest team coming into the tournament, Marquette. One of the hottest teams. So that's a legit win. And then this Kansas State team, admittedly, I had not watched them all season. And man, are they good. And that Noel, you know what he's doing right now? He's putting together a tournament that you'll always remember.
Yes.
There are certain guys that through the years, you know, you could just – mentioned, like, you know, Jimmer Fredette.
I was going to say him.
Jimmer.
Steph Curry.
Yes.
Kemba Walker.
Mm. Morrison from Gonzaga, right?
Yep.
He had big. Is that him on the commercials?
It is. Him and Greg Oden, right?
Greg Oden. Yeah, that's who that is. Yeah, so, you know, there's just guys through the years that have put together these tournaments that you just always remember it. And he's having one of those. What do you have, 18 and 19 assists? Or did he have 20
points and 19 assists?
Jeez.
And 5 steals.
How about that on your resume?
He also got the steal
yes.
when Michigan State was trying to get the 3-ball off to tie it.
That's right.
And they just couldn't find an open look. I thought Hauser had a little bit of space to get one off if he wanted to. He didn't. They just passed it around the perimeter, and then ultimately he rips it out and goes the other way with it.
Was that – I'm glad you mentioned that. Michigan State looked so confident all night. One pass, shot, boom. And then the final play, nobody wanted to shoot that. Nobody wanted that. I'm sorry, but nobody wanted that shot. And that was just one of those where I agree with you. I think Hauser could have had a shot. Was it Hogard maybe could have taken a shot?
I think they were trying to get Walker freed up, but they couldn't really do that.
That's amazing that the steal that Noel had, or just knocking it away, and the same thing happened to Tiger in the UCLA game, where they
it's true.
Gonzaga knocked it away there at the end. So you don't even get the, you know, you don't even get that moment.
The shot in the air, yeah.
Tyus Edney, did you figure it out?
Yeah, 1995, round of 32.
Coast to coast.
Coast to coast, 4.8 seconds.
Wow, was that against Missouri?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and won that game. That was an amazing play because I think, I don't know, I could get this wrong, but I feel like Missouri scored to put him up one, and literally it was under 5 seconds, and Edney just gets the ball out of bounds and just flies up the court and gets a shot to go in for UCLA to win that game. That was amazing.
I will say this real quick on the other side of the coin for Michigan State. I think what Illini fans went through this year,
yeah,
with the portal, with the chemistry issues, they might. There's people out there that would sign up for a coach that goes in and says to their entire current roster, don't leave. I'm not going out and searching for other people. I'm riding with you guys, and we're gonna get where we want to go. Now, I don't know that Illinois, like this year, would
they
have the,
to, right?
The roster to do it. Yeah, Michigan right. State had, I mean, when you bring back Walker and Hogard Hauser, some of those guys, it wasn't like a bold move.
No, right.
It was more so the big man when they lost Marble and they lost Bingham. Be like, Sissoko's barely played, but he's going to be our starting five man, and we're going to bring in a couple of freshmen.
It's amazing. Let's talk about that next. I want to talk about the Big Ten. And in the 4 o'clock hour, my question to you and Kyle and to our listeners, does the Big Ten deserve this many teams in the NCAA tournament? It's that simple. Now, I think a lot of people will have knee-jerk reactions to that of either yes or no. But I want people to kind of analyze it, try to dig deep. Now, Tom Izzo's got a great soundbite we'll play next hour that deals with that. And, you know, think what you want about Tom, but he is the dean of the coaches in the Big Ten, and sometimes he does say things that make sense. And I certainly think he does on this soundbite that he put together. It was actually asked two different questions, and he went into the Big Ten on two different occasions, so I merged them together. But it's just this simple. Does the Big Ten, who has not won a national title since 2000, and I know Maryland won it in like 2003, but they weren't part of the Big Ten then, and really, in the last couple of tournaments, they haven't even gotten a team to the Elite Eight. Last year, they didn't get a team to the Sweet 16.
Well, they had Purdue and Michigan last year in the Sweet 16.
Oh, I was thinking they did. Okay,
this year, they only had one.
Okay.
In the past 3 years, I think they've had a total of four Sweet 16 teams.
Wow. Any Elite Eights?
Michigan was an Elite Eight team 2 years ago. The year that Illinois was a one seed, Michigan also was one.
Oh, that's right.
And they made it to the Elite Eight. I know Illini fans were holding their breath. Please don't let Juwan and company go to the Final Four. They fell short there, but
I got it. I had a text today.
Last year, no Elite Eights.
Hold on a second. I had a text today from a buddy, Rod Pageant, who went to college with me. Here it is. I look at the Sweet 16. I become sad. Then I become angry. Look at these schools in it. Kansas State, San Diego State, TCU, Xavier. There's no reason we shouldn't be fielding teams that can go to the Sweet 16, we being Illinois. The last time we went, and I'll leave out a couple of words, was 2005. San Diego State has been to three since then. San Diego freaking State. Mm. And I answered that with, I'm right there with you, and I said again, and I said it the other day, that Loyola loss will go down as one of the biggest ever. Because really, you know my favorite thing of updating a stat? You, that year, with that team that was a one seed and had Io and Kofi, you had every chance in the world to update some stats, getting the team to the Sweet 16. Then you don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry about that. And don't think for a second that that doesn't weigh on Brad Underwood and even the players, right? It's kind of like you and I joked the other day, when you start a season, whether it be baseball or softball, and you're like 0 for 8, and you're just like, oh. And every time you go up, it's almost like you add like two of the weights on your bat. Your bat just gets heavier. It's like, just get this out of the way. Let me just flare one over the second baseman and get that hit, and they don't have to worry about it anymore. I mean, maybe some guys don't put that kind of pressure on themselves. But, yeah, it's just, to me, that team had a chance. Let's say even that team would have gone to the Sweet 16 and somehow lost to Oregon State. Let's say they've done that. They did that. Now, we would obviously be still very disappointed. But at least you made the Sweet 16, right? Now, it is funny in basketball how that is – that's such a thing, right? Like, there's Sweet 16. There's Final Four. Like, the Elite Eight doesn't get any credit, does it?
Not a ton. I'll be honest, though. I remember – the 0-1 season more for the Elite Eight appearance than the Big Ten title they won.
Okay. Well, maybe it gets more credit than I think. Obviously.
But we talk more about
Sweet 16,
Final Four. It's getting to the next weekend.
Right.
You know?
Right. Those are kind of the two
benchmarks.
Yeah. And then is there any other sport where then it's almost like we don't care if we win the national title. We got to the Final Four. That's perfect. I mean, I know you do care. Don't get me wrong.
Like in the NFL, if you make the AFC or NFC title game.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not a bona fide top-notch franchise. So, like, when the Bears go to the NFC title game. You remember that year we made the NFC title game? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we lost Aaron Rodgers. Let's not talk about that anymore.
Was that when the strong safety or whatever that – was that
Chicago? No.
What was that year? Was that the year Warner was at the game
together,
or something?
Man.
Conte, was that
his
name?
Conte.
Sorry.
There's too many late examples, late game examples of Aaron Rodgers breaking our hearts. That was the Jay Cutler gets hurt.
Oh, yes.
And then Caleb Haney plays the second half. Oh. Urlacher picks off Rodgers, but then Rodgers gets him by the shoelaces.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He would have been gone. He would have been a pick six.
That can be – there's some frustration there. You had Chris Conte. I had Aaron – what was his name? Francisco, who on the last drive against the Steelers in the Super Bowl slips once that allowed him to gain about 45, and then he slipped again the next – and then he was the one that I think they threw it over for the winning touchdown. And I was like, well, that was a – and he was a pretty good player, but, boy, he had – now he goes down as one of my – most disliked players ever.
If that Illinois team in 2021, let's say they beat Loyola and Oregon State,
yeah.
They're matched up with Houston in the Elite Eight.
Gosh, would we have faced them again?
It would have been the first time and then faced them again next year. But who knows if you win that game,
yeah,
regardless
of
the outcome.
Right.
If you would have done that, I just feel like the pressure would be it would still be there because when you have the talent on the roster, when you have Brad come out and say, this is my most talented team I've had, you know, top to bottom, you're setting the bar pretty high. So if you don't reach that, there's going to be disappointment. There's going to be pressure to get to where you're supposed to go. But I think Illini fans would have been able to sit back a little bit better this year. I don't know if enjoy the ride's the right thing to say because this ride this year was kind of nauseating. It had some highs. It was great.
Sure.
But there wouldn't have been the same level of angst.
I agree.
And you might at the end of it been like, we put together a roster that was entirely new. We had a dice roll in the tournament because we had talent. It didn't work out.
Yep.
Let's just go do it again. Instead, there's a lot of big, grand, like, conclusions about Brad Underwood and this program and what they're not doing because of that Loyola loss.
It's one of the maybe not – it may be the biggest loss. I mean, I know Austin Peay. I know all those goofy first-round losses, Villanova 1 year. You lost to Georgetown 1 year, although I think you weren't supposed to win that.
Western Kentucky,
good call there. I just feel like for what you had, not often are you a one seed. And I'm talking a lot of teams, not just Illinois, like Purdue. Not often you're a one seed in the NCAA tournament. You have to take advantage of that. You have to. You get a 16, and then you get either an 8 or a 9. You have to take advantage of that. And again, we can go – the argument is Loyola's no way should have been – they should have been a 4 seed. KenPom had them, what, like 12th in efficiency?
I think they were top 10
yeah.
in KenPom.
So for that to happen, I don't know. I hate bringing that stupid game up. But I just – for Brad Underwood and for this era – of Illinois basketball, that loss is huge until it isn't. and I don't know when the isn't. And you said it right. Like, even last year, you beat, albeit it was a battle, but you beat Chattanooga. And then you just, I think at the end of the day, right, I think everybody looked at each other and said, ah, that Houston team was really good.
Yes.
Like, I don't think we're beating that Houston team. So you didn't really, are you disappointed? Yeah, but you didn't really leave last year feeling like, you know, that you left something out on the table. And I definitely don't know that I felt that way this year either because of the position they put themselves in to play a pretty good Arkansas team. And then obviously you would have run into Kansas. I don't know what would have happened then, but you're right. I mean, I just think maybe Brad doesn't feel that pressure. Maybe he doesn't. But boy, I'm sure he'd have to.
He has to know it's there.
And even for fans, right? Like the fan pressure. Like we feel it. You know, we go into a tournament going, oh my gosh, can we win two games? So I don't know. It's interesting. Hey, Keith Randolph. The law firm of Randolph and Newton. Keith Randolph. Brett Moore texted me yesterday and said, hey, I can get you Randolph at 3:45 if that's cool. I'm like, hell yes. I mean, he might be the best personality on that Illinois football team. We saw that at Game Day Spirit that day. That was one of the best times ever when he and Newton came. Now, Randolph's the one that went to school down at Belleville?
He did.
Okay. You notice I didn't
teammate
go any further.
Of your favorite.
I wasn't going any further with
Jay
that.
Jay Liddell.
How's he doing?
He missed all of this year because he had an injury there in the preseason. It was a torn ACL. I don't know exactly what it was, but he was out for the year.
Okay. Well, I hate to hear that. So, all right. Well, listen, he's going to join us, Keith Randolph, here in a little bit, like at the end of this break. And we'll talk some Illinois football spring. Is it spring football? Are we calling this spring?
Spring practice. I get where you're going on
that.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like, so we'll talk to Keith Randolph coming up. The other thing that stinks about spring, not only the weather, but it's tax time. You get a little extra time this year. You get till Tuesday, April 18, and Busey wants to help make sure that you're doing the right thing with any kind of money you get back. How about pay down some bad debt, even build savings? You want to avoid costly penalties and keep money in your pocket, and there's a few ways you can help by doing that. You could file electronically. That helps because 20% of the time that people file with paper, there's errors. 1% with electronic filing. You can also contribute to IRAs, retirement accounts by April 18 and get some credit on your taxes. Tax laws are complex and they change frequently. Well, guess what? Like they do with everything else, Busey has those in place to help you with that. Visit Busey.com. Stop by one of their many convenient locations. Get started today on your maximum refund. Busey, member FDIC. Nailed it, Cliff. Nailed it. Keith Randolph next.
Jets is hiring. Call 217-352-9992 or stop into 1907 West Springfield Avenue near Round Barn in Champaign. Jets is open till 10 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays till midnight. Are you looking for a side hustle? Here's Josh from Jets talking about the benefits of doing deliveries.
When I was a delivery driver, it was amazing how much the actual amount of money I had just shot right up. You have money in your pocket every single day.
For details on joining the team, visit JetsPizza.com.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands from Lands Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Right now at Lands, it's a great time to buy a new Trane heating and cooling system. We are offering special financing or up to $1,500 off any qualifying Trane system. At Lands, we know what it takes to deliver exceptional comfort, and we offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you are thinking of a new comfort system, now is the time to buy. And remember, it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Are you often looking for a good opportunity to volunteer in the community but don't know how to plug in? This is Melissa Wilhelm with the Salvation Army of both Champaign and Vermilion County. The Salvation Army in Champaign County served almost 60,000 people in 2022 with a staff of less than 15 people. We need volunteers in the area to be able to help those in need. The Salvation Army plays a crucial role in disaster response efforts by offering basic needs when disaster strikes. For those locally being interested in being an emergency disaster response volunteer, we invite you to join us for this free introductory certification course on April 1st, Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at 2212 North Market Street. That's the Red Shield Center behind Marketplace Mall. For information on emergency disaster response training and emergency disaster response services provided by the Salvation Army, visit sachampaign.org.
If you're looking for a pre-owned car, truck, or van, look no further than Sarah Champagne. You know them for their five incredible vehicle brands, the BMW, Honda, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. But did you know they also have over 100 used cars, trucks, and vans in stock right now? And at Sarah Champagne, they will take care of you. You can trust them. And prices begin at under $2,000. Stop by Sarah Champagne. They're at Burwash and Savoy, or go online, sarahchampagne.com. That's Sarah, S-E-R. RAChampagne.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
This song is just like really fast. Like, I think it would give me anxiety. You know how normally there's a kind of a flow to a song? This one just bam, 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 and I'd just be like, stop. Slow down. Is it Friday?
It is.
Okay. Kind of in one of those moods. I don't even know what that means. Like, I'm ready for the weekend. One of those.
You ready to party?
Well, no. You know what? No, I'm ready to just literally go home and just watch basketball tonight. That's what I'm ready to do. Keith Randolph, I bet he's watching basketball tonight. Illinois football. What's up, buddy?
What up? How you doing?
Good. How much do you take in of NCAA basketball?
I watch it a lot, man. I mean, it's supposed to be me out there, so.
That's right.
It's a little heartbreaking.
How's your bracket doing right now, Keith?
Oh, it was shredded day one, but it happened.
Who'd you go with?
Come on, man. You know who I went with.
Okay. Oh. That's loyalty, though.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, now you're into football. I know you loved it going to the bowl game. Was the break long enough, or does it feel like you even got away?
Break. What break? What break are we talking about? We're talking about spring break? Yeah, it was like 30 seconds. But hey, I guess that'll do.
Yeah, that'll do. Hey, you and Johnny both coming back. Thank you, number one. Congrats. We are excited about that. How tough was that decision?
Yeah, it was tough, but not as tough as people think. Okay. I love this university. I love this coaching staff. I love this team. You know, of course, you know, my dream is to go play in the NFL, of course. And I know I had the opportunity to go do that, but my dream is to go, you know, first round as high as I can go. And what better opportunity is to come back, you know, have another year with Illinois under my belt, just get better and develop and show the world what I can do.
How does it feel to be getting into spring practice and get that process started of this next year to really show your full arsenal?
It's nice, man. Just, you know, I'm now a veteran, you know, so going to my last spring ball, you know, it's kind of just surreal, you know, like I remember coming as a freshman, you know, doing fall camp and everything, but now, you know, it hasn't really hit me hard yet, but you know, the process is just starting. So I'm just excited for the future.
What's the vibe around the guy? It's still very early, but just coming off the 8-win season, going to a bowl game, you guys impressed a lot of people. What's the vibe of getting this thing going and what you guys can do this year?
The vibe is great, man. People are just excited to play football finally. You know, we went through an 8-week stretch of lifting and running, which is tough, of course, but it, you know, it's a grind. But now we're, you know, on the turf playing football, and you know, what's more fun than hitting people?
How you doing messing up with the weights these days? You adding any strength?
Of course, yeah. I feel like strength helps get me better every year with in the weight room and stuff. So, you know, I tend to, you know, get a little stronger every off season.
Keith Randolph joining us, Tapman's Towing phone line, The Drive with Say and Piper. Keith, I want to say, not you're so refreshing in so many ways. Number one, you're fun. You attack these media things, and you have a blast with it. And all of us, I can promise you, love having you on. But the other thing that I admire about you is I feel as though you kind of, it's you against the world. And I see you tweet out sometimes, you know, saying, oh, wait, these are the best defensive linemen and I'm not on it. Like, what is that? Sometimes that's maybe looked at like, they're not supposed to keep track of that and pay attention to that. I just think it's refreshing that you do. And what goes into that? Does that, I mean, I assume that just motivates the hell out of you.
Yeah, it man, you have no idea. Just, you know, it all started first when I was given a 13 all Big Ten. That really pissed me off. So I got that first, and then I just started seeing everything that was going on social media and on Twitter or whatever. And just it just motivates me, man, because, like, I just know what I can do. I know what I have done. You know, you cut on the tape and watch number 88. He plays hard. He makes plays, you know, and just – but that's okay, though. You know, that's okay. That's why I came back. That's really another humongous reason why I came back, because I feel like it's time to put my finishing touches on my career here in Illinois. So, yeah, it motivates the hell out of me, man. I feel like there's no words for me to describe it and say how much it motivates me. You know, people – the people on outside that just watch and give critiques, they have no idea what I have planned this upcoming season for myself. So,
great answer, Keith. I think what freaks him out is you got a tight end number.
Oh, yeah, that's for the girls, man. Girls like pass catches.
That's awesome.
You don't even have to have that weird 67's eligible if you were to check in on offense. Right. You just fit right in.
I'll probably retire. No, but I'm a, you know, I feel like 88's a cute number, man.
Are we gonna, like, I know I can't wager on you getting a touchdown, but could we see a Keith Randolph touchdown this season? That would be awesome.
So close. It was so close last year. So close. I was so close. I guess the moment was just too big for me. But hopefully this year, you know, I can pull one off. I feel like I've done a lot of, like, I forced a fumble, interception, all this. But now I got to score a touchdown. That's a must.
Hey, Aaron Henry, now the defensive coordinator. What do you think of this? The kind of the switch with Aaron now. How's that going? I mean, obviously losing Ryan to Purdue, but I mean, is it pretty smooth to get to this point too?
Yeah, of course. Coach Henry, he's a great person, great coach. He relates to the players as well. You know, he played, you know, football at Wisconsin with Coach B. So, yeah, I'm just very excited for him. You know, he's a young coach. He's very energetic. So, I'm just excited to look over to him on the sideline and him to give us a play. So.
Keith, you mentioned when people throw on the film and see 88, is it exciting to know that a lot of NFL people are throwing on Illinois film because of Devin Witherspoon, Sidney Brown, Quan Martin, and as they're looking at those guys, they're not that they wouldn't be looking at you anyways, right, but just the attention that now this defense in particular is drawn from the next level, that's got to be pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting, man. Just, you know, I'm just so very proud of those guys, first and foremost. They've just put in so much work, and now, like, you know, people that are still here are just starting to see it pay off. And, you know, it's just a blessing, man. It's really a blessing. Just when I first got here freshman year, like, nobody was thinking about Illinois football. Nobody was watching us. Nobody really cared. Just to see just the rising that we're on here, it just means a lot to me.
There's so many names to gravitate towards with that defense. And now that with you guys coming back, of course, the law firm – is always going to be the most popular dudes in the building. But Gabe Akis, what he did last year, what did you see from him, and what do you think he can do for this defense going forward?
Yeah, I saw it from early when he first got here. He just he's just one of those guys who just has it. You know, he works hard. He lives in the facility, which is weird. He lives in the facility. He's just a hardworking guy, you know. Like, he's only a freshman, about to be a sophomore, but he works like he's been here 4 or 5 years. So I'm just so excited for his future.
Now that you've been around Brett Bielema for a few years, what do you know since about Brett, and what's your guys' relationship like, and maybe what's he like away from when you guys are on the practice field?
Coach B, he's a cool guy. He calls it what it is. That's why I respect him. He calls a spade, you know. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He just gets it to people straight. And he just knows ball. He knows football. And he just taught me so much. And as far as me and him personally, as our relationship goes, you know, we've had tough conversations, you know, but like that's my guy. I appreciate the hell out of him. He's just a great coach and a great person.
You guys were so close to winning that Big Ten West. Is that another thing that's motivating you this year?
100%, 100%. You know, I feel like we let it slip through our hands. Yeah. You know, but the goal is to get back in that position and, you know, to win the Big Ten. That's our goal. You know, I feel like we're just so close. So we're going to keep on working towards that.
Keith Randolph. Man, you're the man. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on, and I cannot wait to watch this Illinois defense this season, watch you guys play just in general. It's going to be fun. Congrats on a great year. I know, like you said, you felt like you let that Big Ten West slide or slip away, but, you know, to get to the bowl game you guys did and to get this program where it needs to be and where it is now going to go up, I think it's awesome. And let me say one more thing. As a fan, I probably put too much into this. And your best friend is a guy that ticked me off because he didn't stay in state. I think you know who I'm talking about. You did. You did stay in state. And I don't know that I shouldn't root for you harder than anybody else on the team. But because you did that, because of that loyalty, I just think it's awesome. And truly, you're one of the fan favorites, not only because of that, but I think that goes a long way. So congrats on doing that, my friend.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. And for the Illinois fans listening, I love you guys. You guys are about to get everything out of me. I appreciate you guys and all the support. You know, it just means a lot.
Keith, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, Keith. My man. That is Keith Randolph. Great stuff with Keith Randolph. And you knew it was going to be great stuff
always.
With Keith Randolph.
Always.
Is he the best interview on campus right now in terms of funny? I think he S-bombed us and
got to clean that up, Kyle.
he's
hilarious. I love talking to Keith.
He's just, like I used this word the other day, real. Like, that's a guy that just understands the moment. And I'm not kidding you, if you follow him on Twitter, you know, like PFF will come out with grades or they'll come out. I'm not just trying to nail PFF, but like, things like that will be like, hey, these are the top 10. And Keith's like, are you serious? Like, I have better numbers than five of these guys. And I think that's great because I think there is a way to, in a healthy way, use that to motivate. And obviously he does. Obviously he does. Great stuff there. Hey, 4:55 for you baseball fans out there. We got Cardinals baseball tonight. Adam Wainwright will not be there to start the season. Miles Michaelis will. He signed a new 2-year deal today. So Miles Michaelis, I think every pitcher on this roster doesn't have a contract for next season. So I think they're trying to kind of get to that point where, Steven Matz would. Steven Matz would be the only one, I think. So Miles Michaelis signed a 2-year deal today, so he'll be here a couple more years. That's nice. And then Cardinals baseball, you'll hear it today at 4:55. When we come back, Tom Izzo talked about it. I want to ask you, Pipes, you, Kyle, does the Big Ten continue to deserve this many teams in the NCAA tournament because of what has been happening of late and what has happened in the sense that they have not won a national title since 2000? Because from an outsider looking in, if you were one, I think you'd have a legitimate beef as to why the Big Ten continues to get that in. But Tom Izzo's got some great words on that, and we'll do all that next. It is The Drop.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And this is Luke Goody from Men's Basketball.
Luke, it's great to have you back on the floor. We hope to see a lot of you in March.
I was pretty sure we'd get postseason games this year. I didn't want to miss out.
Most of us will be glued to the TVs for the tournament.
I don't want to watch it on TV.
Right, you want to have TV watching you and Terrence, Matt, and the whole crew.
I watched plenty of footage of our games, win or lose, plus whoever's next.
Too bad you can't watch those on a Sony OLED.
I know, right? I saw how great those look in your store, and they're so thin.
The Sony OLEDs have the best picture, the best sound, the
easiest operations. We love them.
I saw your repair bench. Can your team really work on those if they need it?
Good Vibes has been a Sony service center forever. We can fix them, install them, and explain why you want this one versus that one. We know Sony like Coach knows X's and O's.
I believe they're good, but aren't they expensive?
Short answer, no. Come into Good Vibes in March. You can get a 55-inch Sony OLED for $12.99 and deals on sizes up to 83-inch.
Well, that sounds good. Game films probably would look better. Speaking of that, I gotta practice, and you know, watch some more of that film.
Better you than me, Luke.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.